Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fun, creative ways to screw over your wife for life, everyone.
Fake your death. That's a good title. Fun ways to screw over your wife for life.
Hello and welcome to the Gore Bones podcast. My name's Scary James. Who are you guys?
Spooky Ethan.
Frightening Peter.
Frightening Peter. All right. Do we have any new patrons? Am I catching us out here?
Yes, we do. I was like, I'm gonna do that, but I'm installing iOS 16 as we speak because I'm not gonna touch my phone for 2 hours anyway.
Yep.
Fuck. Yes, we do.
Notifications coming up. We have Taylor Thomas. Did we say Taylor Thomas last week? It's just the one?
That would ring the bell.
Thanks for the pledge, Joshua Jones.
Thank you very
much. Great name.
A couple of very good names in a row, actually. I like that.
Yep.
Every time the Taylor Thomas guy was just like, as in Jonathan, and then I just could hear the Home Improvement theme song in my head. And childhood favorite VHS, Wild America, baby.
So what's your experience with Resident Evil, both guys?
I've played 4 and 5 extensively, and I worked on 4, to be fair.
Okay, cool. And Peter?
I'm in the credits on one of them.
Did they spell your name correctly? Unlike
they
those
did.
Fuckers at Disney who fucked my name up somehow.
No, they did. Well, what's nice about working in QA is we can QA the credits too. So if we submit
credits,
we can look at them and be like, hey, you spelled these names wrong.
Yeah. All I can say is whoever was Disney side does not copy paste. And that is a great thing to know about that studio.
They got your name from the Borlore's Lore Boys episode where I called you Piotr Odinug. So.
Yeah, exactly. I played 4, 5, and 6. I never finished 6. And I
six
think, sorry,
six sucked. Six was so bad.
That's what we.
I watched my roommate play it for a bit, and like the dialogue is campy in those games already, and like it's
which
all
is good.
Very over the top. But like six was so it was like third of the sequel. What is it like Rise of Skywalker or whatever? Like that level of bad for me. Watching it was unbearable.
Yeah,
the dialogue, the pacing, like everything that was happening. I was like, this is horrible.
Ouch.
I played the Leon sequence at the beginning of 6 because it's when I used to work at EB Games or at GameStop. And I played the Leon intro, which was pretty cool because it's a lot like Resident Evil 4, but you can walk when you're aiming. And then I got to what I think is the Chris sequence, which is in like Somalia or something like that still, where it is just a clunky as fuck like third person shooter where like everybody is turning into bugs and it was completely I never finished it because I hit that wall of trash basically and couldn't get through the trash wall at all. And then obviously I did the episode about it last spooky season.
Not trying to cover the same stuff that you did, but I did 1, 4, 5, 7. 7's the only one I beat. 1 I like bounce off so quickly because you have to like actually have
it's a very different game
cassette to save. I opened the front door being like, what if I just try and leave the house, and a bunch of dogs killed me and I didn't save and I lost half an hour.
It's not a cassette, isn't it? It's a typewriter. It's typewriter ink,
right? Oh, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it, right?
My mom, when I lived up north in Cujuac, there was a video store in town, and my mom would rent
this rings
Resident Evil 2, I think. Yeah, I've definitely talked about this before. Like, and then my sister, I think I've told this story before. My sister, when we used to watch my neighbor play RE4 before we had our own copy for my computer, had said that, like, because the Ganados are, like, the Spanish villagers in the fourth one. She was like, oh, no, stop. They're yelling at you in their wench language. And we were both just like, that's Spanish, Julia. So, very much a part of my family is Resident Evil. And I've seen all the at least at the time, I'd seen all the movies up until, like, 2012. Because the girl I was dating, like, loved how bad those movies were. So, like, some of our date nights were just like, let's just roast the Resident Evil films, basically.
But the way that you said Ari and then like the title or whatever, it made me think of like Ori the Will of the Wisps, but it's Re Will of the Wisps, and instead of two animal creatures, it's a bunch of zombies. But but okay, like, let's trash all that though. Imagine there's no zombies and you're being chased by dinosaurs the whole fucking time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, this is the Dino Crisis episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So,
is Dino Crisis related to Resident Evil at all? Yeah,
made by the same people, brother.
Okay. Made by the same people. Is it the same universe? I guess we're going to get into it.
But... Well, not same universe, but it's made by the same guy, and it's made by Capcom at the same time. Right after RE1 came out, they started making, while they were working on Resident Evil 2, they worked on Dino Crisis in tandem.
I've played Dino Crisis 1. I remember we rented a PS1 from Blockbuster once for like my stepbrother's birthday. And I played Dino Crisis. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's made by, I have the guy's name. Directed,
Shinji Mikami.
Yeah. Shinji Mikami. Yeah. Developed by Team Dubbed Capcom Production Studio 4. If you've played the first Resident Evil, the first Dino Crisis is closer to that than a lot of other things. So
I've never played Dino Crisis. I was thinking Time Crisis. I was like, the arcade game?
No.
Very spooky.
Yeah.
You play as a police officer.
If you've played some of the Dino Crisis, it might not be the scary game that I'm about to talk about, because it was scary the first game, became a lot more arcadey the second game, and then completely lost the thread by the third game.
Okay.
Well, yeah. But we're mostly focusing on the first game, and then we'll do like a brief summary of all the games that came out afterwards.
Cool.
Yeah. So a lot like Resident Evil, the first one, the camera is strategically placed in each level. So if you've ever played the old Resident Evil game, like, the camera's just stuck to the roof of this one hallway.
It's like a security camera or something that's just like watching the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as you like run to the next part of the room, there's like a small loading sequence, and then you're looking from the next stationary camera kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like tank controls. Like you're like steering your character from like above or whatever.
Yeah. So like,
yeah, tank controls make my brain fall apart. I tried to finish Silent Hill 1, which I have on like PS1 classics on my PS3. And the fact that the left and right are always the characters left and right, and the camera angle changes when you change rooms. Every single time your guy walks in, has a micro stroke, and then like rubs against the door frame while you figure out where your hands are.
Or I hate it, like, some games that have tank controls, you just, like, you walk into a room, and it's, like, the camera angle shift, you're just, like, still holding the joystick, and you just immediately walk back to the room that you just came from.
Yeah.
But you're, like, in, like, these games, you're, like, running from, I don't know, like, a Spinosaurus or something like that, and you're just, like, panicking, and you're just running back and forth between doors, like, stuck on.
Isn't that why you stopped playing, Senua's Sacrifice? Is like, because you kept getting burned to death by jank-ass controls.
Yeah, there's a section of the game where you're like, you're running away from this fire, and you have to escape from this burning building, and you have to like sequence, like hop over these like hills, hop over these like low walls, or like slide under these low walls. And like, for whatever reason, I don't know if my controller I can't say my controller battery because I was hardwired in at the time, but it was just like, I kept like jumping over, and then she'd immediately jump back like back over the wall, and then I was just stuck on the wall, and she wouldn't hurdle right away, and I just like I died like, and I was like, I'm not playing this game.
By the time like you've jumped over, then you're pressing the opposite direction, and then it just like keeps going back and forth. And also, if you think back to the PS1 era, this is before the DualShock 2 came out, so you only had like the buttons to move around. You didn't have the two analog sticks, it's the controls are challenging for a modern player, for sure.
And let's be real, the PS1 pre-DualShock controller did not have a D-pad. It had a solid chunk of plastic that just had four raised parts on it, right?
So like this use of the camera too, where it really removes control from the player. It leads to surprises ahead or behind you, because you can't just tilt the camera back a little bit and look all the way down the hallway. You got to physically have to walk down the hallway to know what's at the end of the hallway.
You can't just lean over and look on the other side of the screen. I don't know if you've ever had a brain fart and done that, because I have.
I mean, of course.
As if it's a window, you're like, what's on the other side of my like 1080p curtains? Like,
I don't think I can't remember that happening. Maybe when I was young, that's happening. That's like a pet who's watching like a squirrel on a TV or something, and then it runs off the side.
It is, It happened to me recently enough that like those dead neurons are still in my skull somewhere, because like I think I did it to myself. Like within the past year, I did it.
Wow,
it's like when you're playing a racing game. And you like you lean,
yeah.
You know when you're going into the corners, like it's the same concept.
I do definitely do the lean for sure.
Yeah.
This can also like the way the cameras are set up can also feel really claustrophobic, because you're only seeing like one little part of the hallway. And imagine you're being chased by a really big monster, like you often are in Resident Evil, or when a dinosaur is following you. The lack of control from the cameras, the surprising nature of like going around corners or down hallways. And like the claustrophobia all really adds to this like unsettling horror aspect of the game. So like we were saying, Dino Crisis was directed and produced by Shinji Mikami. And it is a spiritual successor to Resident Evil. They wanted to move away. This is so silly to me. They wanted to move away from the fantasy elements of zombies to something more real.
Get your heads out of your asses, okay? None of this stupid zombie bullshit.
But you're bringing dinosaurs back from the dead as well. They're still fucking zombies.
They're zombies, yeah.
But actually, as we'll find out later, there's a whole bunch of time travel, which I guess was not part of the fantasy elements of things. But,
Raising the Dead is stupid. That Jurassic Park movie, stupid.
Yep.
That's great.
So some major influence for the game, Jurassic Park, Aliens. Mikami liked dinosaurs because they were large, strong, fearsome, and violent. So pretty cool.
Sure. Sure. Good.
This
Alien is a very good comparison. Or Aliens, rather, is a good comparison, because you get so caught up in the like sexual design of like H.R. Geiger's artwork. Shout out to Scorn. that you kind of lose track of it in the second movie, when they are basically just like hundreds of velociraptors from Jurassic Park.
A good comparison of Dino Crisis 1 to Dino Crisis 2 is also Alien to Aliens. You only ever like see one dino on screen in the first one. It's a lot like more horror and like ambiance, where Dino Crisis 2 is just like nuts to butts, like shooting, and there's a bunch of
gunning.
Yeah, exactly.
Dino slugging.
Yeah.
I have never heard that expression before.
I'm gonna bag me a brachiosaur.
Nuts to butts is. I just want a shirt that says that.
We use that a lot in the WoW community when you have to stack up for like certain raid mechanics. Everybody has to be on top. Yeah, everybody be on top of each other. So nuts to butts, you know. So,
that's great.
Yeah,
love that.
So the game was marketed as panic horror instead of survival horror. Resident Evil kind of a lot slower. The zombies don't move quick. You have time to run back, like pull out your gun, make a decision, even though it's you have to make a pretty big decision because your bullets are valuable. You're not sure if you should shoot. Sometimes that's not the right thing to do, but this is panic horror, so it's more consistent fright. The dinosaurs are quicker, they're smarter, and they can chase you from room to room a lot faster than the zombies could.
The zombies can't change instances in Resident Evil, right? Like, if you go through a door, you're safe?
I think they can follow you, I haven't played.
Like, I'm talking RE1, like, from, like, before we were born or whatever.
I've never played one.
Okay.
Yeah, I've played a bit of 2 and 3, but I've never played one.
Okay.
So, like, Mikami set up Resident Evil as horror in the funhouse, and Dino Crisis is more, like, visceral horror, like, riding a roller coaster, like, keep things moving. Resident Evil combined, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where you're, like, locked in a house with the hordes of zombies from Dawn of the Dead, and you kind of got to play out your own horror movie, and if you played your bullets right and your cards right, then you might just survive the experience, so...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is supposed to be much faster paced. A little Resident Evil fact. They're supposed to use zombies instead. Or instead of zombies, you're going to use ghosts at first. But it wasn't a great design because you just had to run away all the time and you couldn't fight back. so they're like, nah, we're going to trash that. So we're going to keep zombies in so you can have a bit more control. Ammo will be a thing. You'll have to shoot. And you just wouldn't have to run all the time. You could fight.
What was the idea before dinosaurs, then?
The dinosaurs were was zombies came before dinosaurs.
Okay, yeah. So
dinosaur ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay, of course.
The national,
like, ghost, get that fantasy shit out of there. No dinosaur ghosts, just time
dinosaur ghosts. I said, no, let's just make it dinosaurs.
The natural progression, ghost to zombie to dinosaur, right?
That's how it happened. Yeah. Like a Digimon evolution, frankly.
Yep.
Nuts to butts. Ghosts to zombies to dinosaurs. Nuts to butts to ghosts to zombies to dinosaurs.
So Dino Crisis is like really similar to Resident Evil 1 in a lot of ways. You still have to run from the dinos. You're still able to kill some of them. Major difference is the pace. Dinos are faster, smarter, look better than ever. And you end up also getting like a stun gun at a certain point. The stun gun adds another level of unease because you don't know how long that when you shoot this like
It's like a trank dart.
It's a trank dart. So you shoot it and it like falls down and then it's like, all right, like how long do I have to explore this room until this thing gets up again, you know?
That's fantastic. Yeah. I've always lamented the fact. So I played Metal Gear Solid 5 and I'm sorry, I didn't like it. But I love that the trank dart has a time limit on it because I love doing non-lethal playthroughs and that ticking timer, like it's like screenwriting 101 is like a ticking clock, right? And in games that I love, like Deus Ex Human Revolution, Mankind Divided, Dishonored, the trank dart and just fucking killing someone is the same. Like they never get up, right?
Yeah.
Unless somebody, but they can be woken up from being, they can be like, hey, wake up, and like those words are the those magic words are like the cure for being knocked out with poison. It's functionally identical.
It's work time, not nap because of poison time.
Yeah,
you're all confused, my friend.
Gotta be reminded to be awake. Like, oh yeah, whoops.
Guess I forgot. I don't know. It's weird.
You play as a main character Regina, who we'll get into a little bit later. She's a female lead. And there's this one awesome scene where a pterodactyl comes and picks up Regina from, like, the back from her, or, like, the scruffs of her arms or whatever. But then she fights free mid-air and, like, lands on her feet on a roof. And the pterodactyl lands right in front of her, but into an industrial fan. And just gets, like, torn up.
Pretorn?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Pornodactyl, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pterodactyl you limb from limb.
Yeah.
That's a great scene. And because I do distinctly remember the like origami box person graphics from the PS1. So obviously this scene probably looks so bad it's good, right?
It really is PS1 graphics and what you'd expect from a PS1. Like everyone has, it's broken up into these big polygons like for their... each of their limbs or whatever, like your arm is three balls basically.
Yeah, right? It's the hand is just like a triangle with fingers painted onto it sort of thing.
Dino Crisis 1, let's see if I can find
when you think it. About it, our hands are just like three balls with 10 balls at the end of it, right? Just stretched
except
out.
When you're a baby, they're five and then they turn into three, right?
Yeah, exactly.
From the bonus content where you're talking about how babies have different
they got three bones.
Yeah, I'm not finding a good picture here, but anyways.
Well, here you're running the show. I'll pull up the clip.
Yeah, cool. They added injuries, so if you got bit in the arm, that you would be like start bleeding out unless you wrapped it up. This would reduce your health, and blood trails would actually attract dinos.
Cool.
Yeah. So the devs decided to let bleed out effects reduce you down to 1 HP instead of killing you, because they found that it made like more fun. Like, instead of just dying to bleeding out.
Just be frustrating,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have 1 HP, so you, like, can't get anything hit you, and it's exciting moments. And one thing that was different, Resident Evil, if you remember, it's a lot like Final, like some of the early Final Fantasies, like Final Fantasy VII, for example. They have animations for the characters and the NPCs or the items that you need to use, but the background is all like a 2D static image.
Okay.
And this just saves, like, makes it able, like, you just have more memory to do other stuff. That Resident Evil did it that way, but Dino Crisis is like, no, we're making our own engine. We're going to have 3D environments with a custom engine. So everything was, like, part of the 3D engine and nothing was a static image.
Oh, yeah. I found the video.
Oh, yeah, the video's good. Okay, yeah. I don't know how to watch the video in audio.
I mean,
if you could describe it.
If you're driving a forklift right now, just hop onto the internet and look up this Dino Crisis video while you're driving your forklift.
And
watch it along with us.
I'd like to give Laszlo Ola a bump in views, because since 2013, he's only gotten 1,107 views on this fantastic clip. And I mean, I don't need to describe it, Jamie. You described it perfectly. Regina gets picked up by a pteranodon, then she shakes herself free immediately, and then instead of landing, it basically looks like it kills itself, like out of embarrassment. It just dives into into like a 9-foot wide industrial fan and it's just shredded into pieces.
You get splash blood effects.
It's
a living.
What would the Flintstones industrial fan be? I'm writing that one down, baby. That's great.
So another interesting thing from this game, the devs couldn't find any real dinosaurs to use as references for their animations, as you might imagine.
What? Oh, well, obviously.
He's like, pictures. Yeah. There's lots of pictures of dinosaurs, but
All right, I had a 9-year-old child moment there. Like, what? Dad told me that we go zoo, the park safari where there's dinosaurs. Yeah. I mean, Jurassic Park was out at this point.
Yeah, but
watch the movie.
What they did instead is they watched videos of lions and tigers. So we got some T-Rexes that move like lions and tigers, and some of the biting animations are combinations of dog and crocodile attacks. So
cool.
But I can see that crocodiles are related, for one, and I mean dogs have a long snoot, at least like normal ones do, so that is a pretty good animation reference.
Lions and tigers and T-Rexes, oh my.
So this is kind of all the preamble. Do you guys have any questions so far about Dino Crisis and where we're going?
Did you play it?
I actually haven't played it, except for, I think, one that's really bad a friend's place. That was like, it came with its own gun, but the gun was so bad people just used the DualShock 2. And anyways, I didn't play him.
Knock it.
Yeah.
Is Newman in it? Because he was in Jurassic Park.
Canonically, he could be, because there is time anomalies. In later games, entire cities are transported through these time anomalies and stuff. So we could get, like, mid-90s Seinfeld, New York, teleported into Dino Crisis one of these days. Good. So, cool. So I think we'll jump in for an early break, and when we come back, we'll go through the story of the first one, and then little information about all the next sequels.
Nice. Right.
So see you in a bit.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back from the break.
Yes.
Ethan was preventing me from starting the recording because he kept saying big long yeses.
No. Listeners, that's a lie. Don't let Jamie slander me to you. Come on.
So we're about to hop into the actual story, and Ethan found a cool piece of art that features the main character along with some dinos.
Yeah, it seems like there's a comic series that's based on it, because there's like a lot of these style of cover arts, but it's like it's a Japanese comic, obviously. But me and Pete were saying that it looks like propaganda, honestly, just like the way that the faces are framed behind these, like, the dino threat.
Yep.
The dino threat is a threat to you. Vote no on letting dinosaurs marry.
I think I'd be amiss. I forgot to say that this was requested by Fragile Shark. When I said, what is something that I would like for a spooky game? And he kind of hit the nail on the head. And he said, this is the closest I've come to asking for a specific episode on a specific day, and I hope it happens. And it pretty much will happen exactly for you, because it's as close as we can get to Halloween. Or not next
if,
week will be
a not if my cool. sabotage works and I suck Jamie's whole apartment into a time hole. Oh, they'll still come out just a week late.
Yep.
So not on a specific day.
What are you saying, Pete?
There was somebody he asked us to kill too by invoking them on the show. Was it Gorbachev? Is he still alive?
Kissinger, maybe. I think Kissinger.
Yeah. Boy, I hope nothing bad happens to Henry Kissinger in Dino Crisis. That works.
So, actual game story. If you want to play the first game and have no spoilers, well, I guess see ya. But it's it's real see old at loser. This point.
Yeah. It's more enjoyable to listen to us talk about it than it is to enjoy it yourself.
Let's yeah.
Driving the forklift, just like pull out both wired headphones, throw your phone.
Yeah. Plug in your PS1 and wired controller. Yeah, exactly. So in 2009, the actual game came out in like 1999. In 2009, when the game is set, the Secret Operation Raid Team, or SORT, they send an
agent.
That's
a bad one.
Yeah, they send an agent.
Oh, yeah. It's like, don't worry. We'll send someone in to sort things out. And then just like hangs up the phone and like, are they sending anyone to help?
Yeah.
Guy behind a locked door with raging dinosaurs outside.
Yeah. They send an agent named Tom to investigate. Okay,
what does Tom stand for? Top Operation Man.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I was trying to find like tall only man, but no, yours is better. Yeah. Yep, to investigate
tall only man.
Yeah,
tall only man only fan.
Would you sub to my tall only mans? Only for men's, yeah,
and only for tall ones.
Yeah.
Wait, is it only tall people on only tall men on only mans, or is it only for tall people to enjoy?
Honestly, I think it's just a suit store that is labeled for tall people, but it's really for fat people.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
tall
yeah.
only mans, yeah.
Yeah, that's
you're going to want to go to our Husky department. Is...
which I'll need to go to as well. So, to investigate a they sent Tom to investigate a research facility on Ibis Island, IBIS.
It's Ibis is a kind of bird, I think.
Ibis Island. He learns that Dr. Edward Kirk, a world-renowned scientist who was reported dead 3 years ago, is leading a secret weapons project within the facility. I did some like background research on this, and one of the in-game governments actually faked Kirk's death so they could keep him doing experiments for them.
My other guess was time travel shenanigans, where like 3 years ago he popped into a time loop popped into a time hole and then was gone for a certain amount of time. I was like, it's either Shadow Op, right?
Yeah, not a bad guess. Pretty much every game here is going to involve government meddling, resulting in time problems, and then people having to go sort it out.
Okay.
That's if I had to do this episode in 15 seconds, that's what I would say. And that
just like real life, the government always friggin' worrying us with their friggin' time holes and dino crises. Like, yeah. God, man.
So SORT,
it's dino crisis actors. That's why.
Yeah.
So Tom got there first. They're like, where's Tom? We don't know where Tom is. So they send Sort to go after Tom. Tom off screen gets devoured by a T-Rex.
Hey, go sort him out, would ya?
Mm. Yeah. So off screen, Tom gets eaten by a T-Rex. So that's cool.
Okay. So to sort out the question of who sorts out the police, the answer is the police. They just send another agent?
They send four this time. They're like, the one went missing, so we better send four. And the next time,
you guys get two phones, okay, between you.
Yeah. Use the buddy system. Don't go anywhere without your buddy.
Yeah. Another thing I forgot to mention in the preamble, they only use, like, I think 6 or 8 different dinosaurs in the game because they wanted them to originally have all separate AIs and, like, be able to track and move and predict and hunt you. PlayStation 1 didn't have enough power for all of that fun AI stuff, so they just did like a smaller pool of dinosaurs and made the AI as good as they could, but they had bigger, wider plans for it that never
The ambition of old game devs. Like, I know there's like a story where in like Half-Life 1 they were like, oh, we want grass to grow in real time. It's like, fucking why? But also cool, but it's opposed to like nowadays where it's just like, oh yeah, this purple drop is an NFT. So
yeah.
I'd go back to needless grass growing like in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, Pete, I know you're not online, but NFTs are dead.
Yeah.
I think overall traffic is down like 97% since last year. So 6 dinosaurs, you say?
Yeah, there's
8. I want to see if we can guess them.
Okay, so let me pull them up.
We got the Tyrannosaur. Peter, you kept calling him Don. I don't know why.
It's Don, Tom, Regina. Everybody's got a regular like white person name.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a T-Rex for sure, right?
Yeah.
Velociraptors for sure, or raptors, like velociraptors as seen in Jurassic Park.
Wait. Right? It's six. Okay. Do you want me to tell you each one or at the end if you're right?
Are those three, were we right?
Velociraptor, yes. Tyrannosaurus, T-Rex. Yes. What was the other one?
Tyrannosaur. The flying one that flies into a propeller.
It's a Pterodon, actually. It is what Peter said. He knew it.
I know it is. This is a running meme with us.
I remember.
One episode where
we thought about it. Yeah,
I refused to accept his alternate headcanon.
The other ones?
When I was 6 years old.
Other ones, a lot harder, I'll say.
Brontosaur. No, it's not going to be It's not gonna be a leaf eater. They're all going to be... Are they all carnivores? Do you know, James?
One is.
Are they all enemies?
They're...
Triceratops. Stegosaur?
I couldn't tell you.
Ankylosaur?
I was going to guess that one because it's armored. That'd be a great gimmick boss. They would have very good weak points.
None of them end in sore from now on. There's one Saurus.
Ankylosaurus?
I think I have to give them to you. I don't think you'll get them. They're really hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
What we got?
There's Compsognathus, a small bird-sized... One,
yeah, Compsognathus, I think.
Compsognathus.
They are in the second Jurassic Park. They eat the Russian guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're like the little scavenger ones.
There's Therizinosaurus, a large sloth-like dinosaur.
It's got big fingers
with big claws. Yeah, they're found in the latter part of the game. They're quite hard to kill because, especially when there's more than one of them, and they're found in open areas.
Alternate name for the Therizinosaurus: the Reaping Lizard. Which is a cool ass name.
Yeah. You see that thing's fucking hands?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And the last one, which is the easiest to say of those three, the Blue Raptor.
Bull Raptor.
Okay.
Blue Raptor.
Dabba-dee dabba-dee.
And just for fun, look up short-nosed bear versus human size. I was like thinking about... holy... Look how big these bears used to be. This is like 2.5 times as tall as you. So this game's supposed to play
on... Oh, holy Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, this game's supposed to play on our emotions on like running from animals or whatever. Like they think that we ran from dinosaurs way back when, I guess, in this game, which we didn't. But this is something that we actually ran away from, and it was only like 200 years ago or something like that, I think. Or maybe not 200. Maybe a lot longer.
When the Ice Age ended, all of the like megafauna died out as well.
This
but
is
like
megafauna.
Yeah. mammoths and like big bears and like short-nosed bears, like mammoths and short-nosed bears, like existed in the same parallel time as Egyptians. Right. Yeah. Like when you think about like how crazy that is.
Yeah. So people hunted and killed this thing, but it also for sure hunted and imagine it running full speed. Oh boy.
Imagine I put a picture of a giant sloth, but those were also insanely big.
These are, by the way, the last few aren't in the game. We're just geeking out about big animals. But yeah.
Have
you guys ever seen the giant sloth tunnels that they carve?
Yeah. No. Absolutely scary, dude. Yeah, they're in like South America somewhere.
Yeah, Brazil.
Brazil, they're huge.
I'm trying to paste it for you. Yeah. Anyway, it's a big tunnel for the listeners.
Yeah.
If you're driving a forklift right now, just while you're driving, just look up giant sloth. They're big.
Yeah. Hey Siri, show me giant sloth tunnel while you're while you're just like lifting up a pallet of industrial chemicals, I guess.
Okay, yep. Google, search Rule 34, giant sloth.
Oh, holy shit! That's a serious tunnel.
Yeah, it like looks like a huge cave. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the game. We got a little sidetracked, but so Edward Kirk, world renowned scientist, reported dead. Really, he's out on Innis Island. They send out Tom. He gets eaten by T-Rex. So they send
R.I.P.
out
Tom.
Yeah, ripped MySpace Tom. He was our friend, and now he's gone. And then Sort sends four agents, Regina, who's our main character, the badass red-haired girl, Gale, Rick, and Cooper to
that's a good fucking squad.
Yeah. Regina, Gale, Rick,
all right, I'll go to Dinosaur Island to find Tom, but I get to pick my own men. It's like, god damn it, you know we took away Rick and Cooper's badge from years ago.
Yeah.
So they wanted to get Kirk and return him to custody. So they
we arrived. Heard he was dead, and we're going to arrest him for that.
Yep. Yep. Can't be dead on a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't claim your life. It's insurance fraud, right? Yeah. He claims his life insurance.
Can't be dead while alive. He's dead. Wanted dead.
Okay, so
he's just wanted dead while alive.
Here's a question. If you fake your death and you go to a secret island to study dinosaurs and your wife claims your life insurance.
Yeah.
Assuming she doesn't know, does she go to jail for insurance fraud or do you?
You do.
There's no way. You would have to, yeah.
But she probably had to pay it back.
Yeah, but that's like, that might as well be a prison sentence. Like, you can't, right? You spent the money, back. Like, after 3 years? Like,
Yeah, they'd probably go after it for like back taxes too. You know, it's just like it's like under the table dinosaur experiments. You know, the IRS is going after.
Yeah, fun creative ways to screw over your wife for life. Everyone,
fake your death. Boys.
That's a good title. Fun ways to screw over your wife for life. I was at a bar and I was talking to some like middle-aged old man and he was trying to tell me all these tricks and like, no, you should like put your money here instead of here, that way if you get divorced then she won't be able to get it, and like I'm like, okay, I'm not even married. So anyways,
okay, but where
on Ibis Island with a dead scientist?
I should put my money with a dead scientist on
Ibis
Island?
So yeah, because you can hide it outside of time.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Smart. It's like international waters, international time.
Yeah.
That's why the banks have all those clocks with all the different times on the wall. Yeah, dude, it's so good. I can pirate music and avoid taxes. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
So the team arrives on the island, Regina, Gale, Rick, and Cooper, under the cover of darkness, dropping in via parachute. I don't know. Yeah, Regina's the only one I really care about. She is a chick. Gail probably is a chick. I know Rick and Cooper are both guys, but
Gail can be a boy's name too.
Yeah, like Shannon. Yeah.
It's unisex. Like Leslie. Like Alex Beverly. Man. Like Mackenzie. Like
Lost in the Dark.
Jamie. Jamie could be a girl's name. Jeez, yeah, Louise. Guys.
I met a girl named Jamie a couple nights ago. She's like, I'm Jamie. I'm like, me too. What's up?
That's good.
A girl named Frightening Pete.
So. Oh, yeah. There you go.
I'd like to meet her.
Yeah. She's too scary for you.
Oh, okay.
So, guys, let me get this straight. I switched it all up. So Tom never actually got eaten. Tom just went there. He found out about the scientists and he went home. The person who gets eaten is Cooper, because Cooper gets blown off course in the jungle away from the others. And he's lost in the dark, and he's chased down by a T-Rex and eaten. But the other three agents, unaware.
I feel less bad about Cooper dying than Tom, honestly.
Yeah.
I was pretty gutted when Tom died, but Cooper? I don't care.
Exactly.
Fuck Cooper.
He was blown off course, though. So did they airdrop into Dinosaur to Ibis Island?
They parachuted Island? In. Yeah, they parachuted.
Fuck yeah. Very cool. Very nice.
I assumed that they were sailing home after the Trojan War, and he made a deal with Poseidon but betrayed him. And snuck onto his island of golden cows and had some of the milk and slept with his daughter. I assume that that's what happened. But
yeah, that's what happens to Dino Crisis. Yeah, of course.
So the three other agents are unaware of his death, of Cooper's death, and they just proceed with the mission. They said buddy system, but we have three buddies, so I don't think we can really send one person because then we'll be breaking that buddy system. So
They're not particularly good at this, are they? If they're like doing this secret government mission and they haven't heard from a guy in actual hours after he was blown off course, they're like, yeah, he probably went back to the government.
Yeah, before cell phones, I guess. I don't know.
They had radios in the Second World War. Like, they definitely have walkie talkies.
So they get inside the base and the agents discover an eviscerated and partially devoured bunch of corpses of security personnel and scientists. So they split up right away and they restore power to the facility. That's just part of the game. Gale goes missing. And while searching for him, as a guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Regina.
Or you just misgendered him there.
I copy pasted this because I was in a rush.
Just this one sentence.
Yep. Regina is confronted by a velociraptor. So you get to have your first run-in with the dino and get to do your running and shooting and stuff. And then you reunite with Rick, and the two determine that it was dinosaurs that caused the bloodbath. They're like, what if it was that dinosaur that did all the blood we just saw? So they figure that out.
Let's see. The damage is pretty... it's so strange, you know? It almost looks like bite marks, but... I don't know. I don't know any mouth that big, honestly. So,
yeah,
probably just a stabbing. Lots of stabbings, you know.
Yeah.
Like each, you know, these are all nice.
Let's just say we found an ISIS flag too. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a bag of crack you can put on them. Make this report easier when we go home. Maybe we can go home as heroes.
Yes. A broken off sharp tooth embedded in a leg bone and the distinctive claw marks of the street drug dealer.
Yeah, so although their mission to find Dr. Kirk was still their main objective, now they are like, well, we should probably signal for a rescue, because they gotta send in 12 the next time or something instead of 4. We did the 1, we did the 4, we're already in too deep, so.
Yeah, well, they sent in 5, and one guy was just like, shit's fucked, I'm out of here, and they sent in 4 other people.
Well, yeah, they sent the 1 in first as recon, he came home, sent in the 4, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Regina sends out to activate the main antenna to contact their airlift, so video games. She's trying to start, like, be able to open up contact or whatever. And she gets attacked by another velociraptor. But she's rescued by Gale, who shows up again, last minute rescue, which is very cool. Then they keep looking for Dr. Kirk and to restore the communications. They get the communications back on. And Regina heads back to the control room. And they get a signal. They thought it might be Cooper or Tom in trouble. Or I guess Tom might still be there. It's unclear. Rick wants to investigate. So Gale's like, no. We do not want to investigate. But we did see a person on a CCTV or whatever. Like, you know, the closed circuit television security cameras?
Yeah.
So they're like, so now you have to choose. Do we go out and look for Cooper? Or do we stay and follow the stranger from the CCTV? If you follow Gale, you go after an unknown man and end up losing him. And then Rick will tell you that Tom's dead. And if you follow Rick, they come across Tom, really badly injured and near death. And you get to see him almost die, but you take him to the medical room. But there's a really good scene where they open the medical room and the lights are already on. and just a dinosaur that's sleeping on the floor of like what's the size of a doctor's room, like stands up and then just goes after them. But Tom sacrifices himself to kill it and save Rick. Tom's almost dead anyways, so
you see. This is the survivors writing history. Like they didn't like throw his body on the floor in between them and the dinosaur.
Here you go, Tom. Yeah. You know, my space is gonna be dead.
Open the door!
He's still asleep. He's still asleep. The dinosaur's still asleep. Just open the door, let me back out. It's gonna be fine.
It like locks with that like rotating two handles, so it's like,
yeah.
It's, like that's what wakes it up.
So at this point, now they've like found a helicopter, they're almost ready to leave. They're like, things are going great. So they're about to leave in the helicopter, and then the T-Rex shows up and destroys the helicopter, forcing them back into the
base.
Awesome,
I'm glad it knew.
Yeah.
Rad.
Yeah. I kind of wish the introduction to the dinosaurs was the same as, like, the introduction of, like, the villagers in Resident Evil 4, where it's, like, just, it's like, hey, have you seen this guy? And he's, like, trying to hand a Polaroid photo to a velociraptor.
Yeah, so now they need another way out. Regina and Rick go to the facility, find keys to a watercraft, but there's a time vortex in the way. And there's no way to get rid of it, as they know. So Rick speculates that it's a space-time distortion that brought the dinosaurs back. They're starting to figure it out.
And it's weird how it went to, like, several different periods of time and just plucked a single dinosaur out of that rift, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very organized.
It's like a couple million years in between, you know, dinosaur A and dinosaur B ever having existed, you know? Like,
dude, it gets even crazier by the third one when they've completely lost their mind. There's like a place in like dinosaurs history that gets a time distortion. So they go back and Noah's Ark it. So they find all the right types of dinosaurs to repopulate the area. But also there's like a city that gets moved, and I couldn't even start to attempt the third one. It was fucking,
it was really cool though. When that velociraptor came down from the mountain with the two stone tablets, then started the Red Sea though. Honestly, it was a pretty epic moment. That's what we call a gamer moment.
They flee. They find the watercraft, the keys to the watercraft. Can't quite get to it. Rick starts to speculate space-time. And then they split up to find an alternate route off the island. But Regina ends up being held at gunpoint by Dr. Kirk, our missing scientist.
Wait, does a space-time thing, is it like a sci-fi fence?
It's a portal that's in between where they need to go. It's video games, can't go down this hall yet.
I just mean they're on an island, which is kind of like, oh no. And they just like get on a boat and just like do an L shape off of it to get around.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have a boat.
Yeah, they found the keys, but a vortex is in the way of getting to it somehow. So we can paint our own picture on it.
Sorry, folks. Dock's closed. There's another space-time rift on it. Gotta wait till it clears up.
Or yeah, even picture they're going around, and as soon as they get around the hedge, Regina's held at gunpoint by Dr. Kirk.
Okay.
And he's about to kill her. He's like, this was my plan. He explains everything, probably, because he doesn't just shoot her. And then Gale shoots the gun out of his hand. Pretty badass. And they arrest him. Kirk reveals the dinosaurs were brought to their time by an experiment he is running use his third energy technology. So what's third energy? In this universe, at the turn of the 21st century, fossil fuels drained so much to an extent that nuclear power was called second energy because they ran out of first energy.
Okay.
But it was really hazardous because of accidents and the waste that was being that was coming from it. When in reality, like, actual nuclear power plants, when run properly and dispose of waste properly, is way better for the planet. But anyways, in this one...
The waste is a legitimate concern that nobody has a good solution for yet.
Yeah.
But if you're talking deaths per capita, like, oil and coal got you beat by the billions, man.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
In this dino universe or whatever, this was a really big problem. So he started working on something.
Dinosaurs keep getting into the reactors and blowing everything up.
Yeah. No, it's a loop because he took all the dinosaurs to the future. None of them died and created the fossil fuels in the first place.
Oh,
of course.
That adds up.
Yeah.
So he's running a 100 million year racket to sell atomic energy to the U.S. government.
He also brought forward all the prehistoric plants because that is actually what oil is mostly comprised of.
It's flora,
but
yeah,
old wood and like that the compressed swamp dirt or whatever.
Yeah,
Pete. Yeah, they called you Pete and they called me old wood. Not actually, he didn't ruin the fossil fuels, but they were trying to get away from this second energy, and he was doing experiments on a third type of reactor, which releases no waste products and is, like, never exhaustible, but it's dubbed third energy. So it's some magic. It's basically magic.
I used the time vortex to shoot all the waste product 10 years into the future, so we don't ever have to worry about it.
We find out that there's a government behind this who found out that he was doing the third energy thing, and sent him to this island basically to make the third energy so they could use it for warfare.
I mean that's what the Iran nuclear deal is about, right? Is where we don't want them accidentally importing dinosaurs into the Iran while the Ayatollah is still in charge, because he would irresponsibly or use dinosaurs in a way the U.S. government doesn't approve of, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So he did this, then a rift of space was created, and a pocket of the island from their time was exchanged with the same from the past. So it just flipped spaces, bringing dinosaurs back into their time. I think the third one's all about bringing the dinosaurs back to where they took the dinosaurs from, to fix time from being changed forever or something. But anyways, I'm not clear on it. But for this one, Kirk tells them if the reactors are set to overload, the energy coming from them and the vortex should cancel each other out when they come into contact. So you have to go off and get the stabilizer, the initializer, use them to overload the reactors. The energy shakes the base, causes a vent to fail, a vent to fall on Gale, allowing Kirk to get free again. So Kirk scurries off. And then the team heads towards the waterway to escape the blast. But Gale says they still need to capture the doctor, so he's hobbling away. And he's trying to go after Kirk because he just had a vent fall on him. And the orders Regina and Rick are to
leave. Is it ironic? I'm sorry. Yeah, Gale is like a type of wind, right? Like a violent wind. Is it ironic that he's pinned by a vent?
Yeah.
Which would let wind escape?
Yep. Yes, it is.
I like how he still wants to go back and capture Dr. Kirk, as if it's just like, they've just encountered dinosaurs and time travel, and it's just like, the mission's changed. Like, not for me, it hasn't.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's crushed by a vent, trying to drag himself away.
Yeah. He says, as he's dragging himself away on his forearms or whatever, he's like, if I don't come back in 30 minutes, leave without me, Regina and Rick. So now you as a player get a choice. Go after Dr. Kirk or escape with Rick. And you can get three different endings depending on how all your choices up until this point, basically.
Well, that was only two choices. Cool. How do you get the third end?
Well, there's two choices now, but we had two choices before. And there also might be two different ways. I haven't actually played the end of the game, so I'm not sure. But there are three endings.
What's the good ending?
I'll save that one for last.
Oh.
I guess it's get Dr. Rick.
Yeah. The endings all involve a battle with a T-Rex and escaping the island either from the watercraft or the helicopter.
Okay.
Yeah, so we get away. So if Regina chases Kirk, Gale reveals that the whole mission was a front and the government did not want Kirk, but instead wanted the third energy to use in warfare. The sort government, not the Kirk government. It's just opposing governments trying to fight for this third energy. After giving Regina a disc containing all the data for the third energy, Gale dies from his injuries. Regina, Rick, and Dr. Kirk escape the island.
Okay. And then the other one is due to the propaganda campaign to cover up a dinosaur-related incident, the Soviet Union eventually collapses, right? And that's why we can't have clean dinosaur energy now. It's because people are still paranoid about it.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Another ending sees Regina knocking out Gale and then leaving instead of chasing Dr. Kirk, allowing him to escape. So you just punch your friend out and take him with you.
Okay. That's the third ending.
Yeah. And then the very last ending, or what's considered the best ending, Regina knocks out Gale, so to send him back so he wouldn't die,
yeah.
But then chases Kirk by herself, resulting in the capture and the team escaping by helicopter. And Regina, regardless of the ending, summarizes the fate of all the characters in an email to her superiors, then declaring herself ready for the next assignment, even though it's been for evil government all along. So I'm not sure that's the best ending, but that is the best ending. and that's Dino Crisis 1. I have all the other games here. We can briefly go over them. Dino Crisis 2 gets rid of the puzzles, limited ammo, focuses on combat. They get rid of the 3D rendered world, and they go back to the 2D backgrounds. This because still PS1, we need more performance.
Right.
So this is more like you go from screen to screen, waves of dinos come, you shoot them with your guns because you always have enough ammo, and as you kill them, you get combo points if you kill them in quick succession, which makes more dinos.
Metal Slug now, basically?
Yeah. This is actually really well received, this one. There is a lot of positive reviews. One of the best third-person shooters at the time is the year 2000. It's a lot easier to get into than a horror type game, I feel like.
But yeah, just sure. A completely different kind of game, right?
Yeah. For sure. It sold way less, though. It sold way less just because of the timing. I think PS2 came out like 3 months after this game, and it was for the PS1.
Okay. Right, yeah.
The game before had like over 2 million in sales. This one had like 1.19 million in sales. It was still really strong. But this one's supposed to be really fun anyways.
This Dino Crisis 2 footage I'm watching now. So it still looks like it has tank controls because every time the screen changes, the guy playing the character like bumps into the wall next to him. Yeah. But it is fucking hilarious that it is basically just without context, at least clicking to the 1 hour, 10 minutes mark, it is just a man running through the jungle and small dinosaurs just jump out at him. One shot kills him immediately with a shotgun.
Yep.
Like, no thought, no context. I've got it on mute. I don't know if he's saying anything like quippy, but yeah, it's just like just a man in body armor, just like,
yeah,
just like absolutely ending their existence.
And like I said earlier, it's like Alien to Aliens. This is like if you wanted the action packed, you don't want to have to be stuck at places. Like this is just like go and shoot.
Go.
Yeah, and this
go
one
kill dinosaurs. It's a crisis. Act like it.
Yeah. Next up, 2002, bad game came out, or in a lot of people's mind, bad game. Dino Stalker.
It's Dino Stalker chasing that Halo high in 2002.
Do you guys know what a light gun shooter means? I had to look it up.
It's the arcade cabinet. It is like Time Crisis.
As long as you've got, it comes with a gun. So you might have played this back in the day, Ethan. But the thing is, the gun was really bad, so people would just use the DualShock 2 to move the reticle, because it's not like a first person shooter where you would move the camera and the reticle is always in the middle. You're just going through something and you're moving the reticle trying to get
a rail shooter. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, all right.
The controls were awful. The game was okay. There's timed missions that people hated. It looked bad compared to other games at the time, starting to fall behind. And at this point, we're so far from the survival horror roots. We're just not winning the fan base over anymore either. And then there's Dino Crisis Dungeon in Chaos, a 2003 mobile game.
Wow, that is... Wow.
It played like Doom. It looks just like Doom, but you like have to physically like move one forward at a time to go from box to box to box. And then you would run into something and you press one button to shoot.
There are people who probably listen to our podcast who are too young to understand how limited phones were in 2003.
Yeah.
Like, I am floored. I'm even looking at pictures. This looks like a marvel of technology, honestly.
Yeah.
For 2003.
It looks kind of cool. Like, if I had a 2003 flip phone and I could play this on the go, I would like it. Right. There's, like, a map set up. You go through and you shoot dinosaurs. But it's really, like, it's almost like a turn-based Doom. Like, it's really, really slow.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then there's Dino Crisis 3, set in the year 2548, way longer. 300 years.
2548?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's been 300 years since the Earth lost contact with the colony ship, Ozymandias, en route to A squared. Somehow, the ship has reappeared near Jupiter. A team called SOAR, Special Operations and Reconnaissance, is sent aboard the probe ship, blah, 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 blah. And there's a bunch of time travel bullshit. There's so much less about dinosaurs. Like, the first hours of the game is all about a love interest, and no one's looking for a love interest in Dino Crisis 3. You know, we're looking to shoot some dinosaurs or get scared.
Yeah,
but
all the dinosaurs I'm looking at the Dino Crisis 3 cover is kind of cool, but like, it's got like a T-Rex and like a longer spaceship. It kind of looks like the Pillar of Autumn, I guess, from Halo. Yeah. But like, all the dinosaur designs have like stretched out skin and exposed muscle. They all look like they're covered in scar tissue.
Yeah.
And then there's one picture here that just looks like the guy from Final Fantasy Spirits Within on the cover. And I'll send it to you guys, because there's just a big red sticker that just says "Scan Me" on it.
Yeah. They planned for like all this stuff. They wanted to have like AI multiplayer type thing where you could like have your skin. Where you could have like a team of people follow you around. You actually go out into space with like jetpacks and shoot and stuff. And they just took on so much that like none of it played well.
Landed, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the derelict spaceship filled with dinosaurs in orbit around Jupiter is a great fucking idea for a video game.
Yeah.
And someone's listening who wants to make that, do it. I will buy it day one.
So this
as a sequel to a long running series of horror games. Like, what? It's just like, oh, sir, there's a derelict spaceship full of dinosaurs in orbit around Jupiter. And, like, from Earth, he's like, leave it there.
Yeah. This is the thing.
What are they going to do? Drive with their stupid little hands?
Like, yeah, exactly.
I can't move the ship. Blow like, it up. I don't care. Crash it into Jupiter. What do we care about fucking Jupiter?
Exactly.
It's huge.
This is the thing, though. All these games were good up until the third, basically. They kind of strayed from the path. And then the railgun was really bad, but the Xbox just like put the nail in the coffin that game. But everybody who likes the Dino Crisis series wants another one. Someone went and made Unreal Engine 5 like teaser of what Dino Crisis 4 could look like.
And of course they did. Jesus Christ!
And it's like very cool looking, but.
It's like a whole genre of YouTube video is just like blank in Unreal Engine 5 at this point.
Yeah. if they gave me a new Dino Crisis and it was a good one, probably I'd want a little more of the survival horror and a little less of the run and gun. I think I'd be into it after looking these all up. So I'm hoping they do it.
But you would just run right out the front door and get swarmed by dogs and give up on the game if it was survival horror.
So I want it in the middle a little bit, you know?
Give me a better autosave, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Same concept. Just don't make me lose 30 minutes of my fucking life.
Yep, exactly. So that's been Dino Crisis. You're welcome, Fragile Shark. It's a longtime patron, so I'm happy to get one in for him again. And if you guys ever do run into a PS1 copy of it, let me know how that goes, because it looks interesting.
I'm sure you could emulate it. I don't think it exists anymore.
They sold 2 million copies. Out of the 2 million copies, there's got to be a couple that survived the
there's probably one that's unopened out there somewhere.
25 years. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Great. Thanks, Jamie. Very spooky. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you guys want to help the show, you guys can leave us a review on iTunes or whatever your podcast app of choice is. I know the iTunes ones really counts. That's kind of how iTunes aggregates their shows and decide what's the best. So if you want to leave us a 5-star review, it'd be much appreciated. If you guys want to get in touch, contact@loreboys.com, loreboyspodcast@gmail.com, or you can join the Discord, and there's a link in the description below. Peter, what's going on with you these days?
Oh, at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram if you want to see the title cards. Otherwise, things are moving along with my publisher. There was a one of the guys who was like reviewing some work I did that I wanted to submit for November did not get COVID, but got different germs and was debilitatingly sick. So that got delayed by about a week, but he's better now. So
is it the same guy who was sick at Comic-Con?
No, other one.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Chris. Chris was fine after this week, at least. No, it was Mike, the beard guy with the beads.
Yeah,
got very ill. But he's better now, so I should have some very exciting information about like a demo release of a little bit of the comic in November. I should hope, because that is the plan. That's why we wanted to get a little bit out. I don't remember if I talked about it before, but it was like I'd done like 25, 30 pages, and I was like, yeah, and I want to do more so we can like tease people about it. They're like, Pete, you've done too much. We're not going to give people a 30-year fucking thing. It's just like, we'll choose 5 pages. Like, that's it. So, yeah.
November's in a week, just since you're promising things and deadlines, Pete. And I know how
the deadline at that point is out of my control. All the work I had to do is done. So it's in the hands of corporate at this point, basically. So.
Cool.
So, yeah, November 2nd was my latest deadline, but I've been done for weeks at this point, so we'll see what happens next month.
Cool.
Yeah.
And Jibo, what's going on with you, big guy?
Not too much. Since I'm fighting with my WoW people, I'm on Steam right now. So go on JAYMILK, find me on Steam, and add me on Steam. I've got a bunch of you folks, and it's fun to play games, see what you're playing, and get to know you a little better. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/lowboys. If you guys don't want to buy Jamie games on Steam, then
I didn't say that. I said let's be friends.
Use the money. We'll just use the money on from Patreon. Yeah, no, it really does help the show. Helps us pay for the costs that we have and buy things like new mic, stuff like that.
Yeah,
as we need them. So we do super appreciate everyone who's supported us so far.
And it helps us get the gas to, what was it, Long Boner, Ontario or whatever?
Yeah, Boner Law.
Boner Law, okay.
Boner Law. So there's surprisingly no laws about boners.
Wow.
None on the books. It's like Air Bud.
Hey, nothing said you can't walk around in town with your boner out.
Right.
Still a movie about a golden retriever. It's awful.
The rules don't explicitly say that. Yeah, you can go to patreon.com/loreboys. There is also a link in the description. We do also have a merch store that you can check out some of our merch. Some of it's pretty cool. We don't make a ton of money on that, but it is always super, super cool to know that people are just buying it and wearing it.
Awesome. Yeah, put it up when we can and buy it before it gets taken down by Disney.
Yeah, we have been copyright striked at least once by the mouse. Hoo-hoo! if you guys... Guys, don't trust Patreon. We do, of course, have Lore Boys Prime, where we are offering a very special service, which we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier in this episode. Of course, it is fun ways to screw over your wife for life. So we have been hard at work. Your patron bucks are not going to waste over here. We've been doing a lot of research. We kind of gave you guys the freebie earlier about faking your own death and having your wife claim your life insurance and then revealing that you're not dead and having her go to debtor's jail.
Like debtor's jail, the Tower of London.
what was it? What was the tagline for this? How to screw your wife for life?
Fun ways to screw over your wife
for life. Okay, how to knock her up, then knock her down. I like that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
If you were a lawyer on a billboard, that would be a great thing to put on that billboard.
Yeah, a divorce lawyer. Yeah. a divorce / alimony / child support lawyer.
Yep.
A couple other freebie ideas, I guess. You could always just convince the government that she actually developed a new form of producing power. and I know that the government will tell the globalist elites and she'll be disappeared in no time. Honestly, if you can
put super glue in her shoes when she's not wearing socks.
Yeah. Or dead mice in her shoes. Yeah. That's something my cat likes to do sometimes. And it's
good.
God. Gets us.
Oh, that's squishy.
Mine, who you can see right here, does not do that to me, thankfully, because I don't have a mouse problem on the third floor.
Thankfully. Yeah. So that's just a couple of ways that we're going to help you guys screw over your wife.
Four lives.
Yeah. Whether it's a boy wife, a girl wife, whatever kind of wife you got. An unmarried wife. A midwife. Wife, whatever it is. Midwife.
Spider wife.
Yeah. My wife is so mid, bro.
it's real, no cap.
It's mid good. I don't know.
No, I think it's
I mean, it's like average. I think it's like middling.
Mid.
It's average to like also like suggesting under average a little bit. I feel like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think.
Well, just being average is like under average.
Yeah, right? It's true in this economy.
Yeah, inflation. Thanks, Biden.
Joe Brandon made me uglier. Like,
right. Cool. I think that will cost you a lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out.
Ooh. Oh no, the kiss for the patrons. I take that back. You have to change the beaver skin diaper.
Yeah. Babies are reprogramming the population. Wake up, sheeple. Poop is gross.
Tinfoil diaper.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.